Yeah.
Feel it, feel it.
You feel it wrong. COVID-19, yeah. I could just listen to this all night. This is good. Got that good vibrations. I just watched a movie with Marky Mark recently. Spencer Confidential on Netflix.
On Netflix. How was it?
It is. It's as bad as the burp I just made. I'm sorry. It was terrible.
You know what?
It was entertaining, but it was terrible.
That's the only thing I want. I just want to be entertained. I don't care if there's gaps in the plot. I don't care if it's unrealistic. I liked it. I actually saw that movie as well.
You paid to see it in a theater?
No.
No.
It saw it on Netflix okay. with everybody else. It probably should get released in the theaters, as that is one of the qualifications it needs to be nominated for an Oscar. It needs some sort of limited release. And if Bloodshot with Vin Diesel is going to get released in theaters, then why shouldn't Mark Wahlberg?
Well, we can't go to theaters. Well, before we go on, we haven't welcomed everybody to the podcast hot tub. We actually are staying out of the hot tub. We're 6 feet away from each other because of COVID-19 lockdown.
Right.
And we're keeping it safe with the social distancing.
Yeah. And to kind of put a pin on the debate we were having earlier, I do believe that this is a serious thing. And that it's not a hoax generated by the U.S. government to keep us isolated, that it's something we should take seriously. So,
well, I guess we kind of differ in opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
So moving on from
moving
there.
On. Thanks. Well, that was my partner in crime, Ron, spilling the beans on my terrible debate that we were having. Welcome, everyone. I'm TJ. This is Two Fat Dads. A little fatter than normal, I think, because we're in lockdown mode here in California. And, we all went down to the Costco and stocked up big time. and I'm about halfway through my stash.
By the way, I did see there was a paper that's floating around, and you can trust everything you see on Facebook.
100%.
Yeah, that Costco had put a sign up, maybe a local Costco, maybe one that's far away, that says we're not accepting any returns on water, toilet paper, or basically the things that people have been buying in bulk and hoarding.
I feel like, even if it's not a hoarding situation, you're not allowed to return toilet paper ever.
Well, there's certain things that should never be returned if you're a decent human being.
Right.
I saw another thing last year. It was in an actual newspaper. Some lady was returning her Christmas tree to Costco on January 8th.
That is so bad.
That is so tacky.
Was it a live one or was it a, like...
No, it was a dead... pine needles scattered about, dragging it to the return thing. I'm here to return this. It died on me.
People are insane.
Yeah.
We went to Costco the other night. It was so fun to go to because they have this new system where when you go in, you have to go through like this gauntlet of shopping carts. So really? There's no direct access to the front door. It's like, go through, it's literally like 30 or 40 yards of going through shopping cart maze.
Like it's a line at Disneyland.
Yeah, like I might take my kids there because, you know, they like the corn mazes. We can just do the Costco maze.
So Costco's turning into IKEA.
Yeah, kind of like that. But then you get in and it's kind of normal, right? Everyone's kind of keeping their distance and there's not that many people in the store. But when you have to check out, you have to all go in the single file line. And they point you to one of the areas that you can check out on, like one of the lines, but you're the only person in the line. And then there's a person being checked out and you can't step forward until you're invited forward. So you're like always like 20 feet away from everybody.
Wow. Well, I like that they're taking it so seriously.
I love it. And you know what? As a person who doesn't like to be around people that much, like I love social things, but I like my personal space.
I do too.
I am digging this because I grew up in South Korea. There's no personal space there.
No, no.
Like you'll be shopping and like, you know, someone will give you an elbow or like bump into you. Like they don't, it's just a very cramped situation there.
So can I ask you a question about Asian stereotypes?
Mm-mm.
No. No, this is what I've heard about, and maybe it's not in Korea, but in terms of queues and lines and stuff like that, it's a bit of a free-for-all. I've heard that. Is that true in South Korea or untrue?
No, I think maybe back in the day it was a little more like that. Korea's pretty orderly these days and they get in line. But I think any culture that's, or not culture, but country that's kind of growing up economically has some of those like, you know, first world manners that they don't have them, right? Because they haven't had to deal with that. And they've been in a scarcity situation for most of their time, right?
Right.
So I don't know. But yeah, But like personal space when you're shopping, people bump into you, no big deal. Drives me crazy.
See, I feel that way about movie theaters, and this makes us sound like a snob, and I've gotten
comment.
Well, there's certain things I'm a snob about, and I will own those things right now.
Which things are they?
It's really just three things. No Diet Pepsi is not okay. I'll have a water.
Amen, brother. I'm with you on that.
Or maybe a lemonade. Sometimes if I just have a caffeine headache, maybe I'll do it just in a moment of weakness, but I feel dirty afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Second one is I like a good TV or a nice big TV. Doesn't have to be one of those wraparound curved TVs that cost $8,000. A nice Vizio that's good size. I like a good TV.
Okay, a big TV. I'm with you on
that. And then the last one is I'm a little bit of a movie theater snob. For the same reason you just described, I don't want to touch the person sitting next to me. I don't want them to be very close to me. My wife or one of my children, that's fine. But yeah, our elbows don't need to touch during
that's
a movie.
True.
That's gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
share
one of
a little
areas.
Like thigh sweat. Yeah. The two thighs coming together with two dudes with shorts on.
Gross.
That is nasty.
Yeah. So those are my snob areas.
Yeah.
So I totally understand the personal space issue.
Yeah.
That's why in an airplane, I try to like beef my, especially Southwest where it's a free for all in a cattle car, like almost beef myself up bigger so that people think twice before claiming the middle seat next
totally.
To me.
You know what I want to do? Because I have a Southwest companion pass.
Us go together?
No. Let's go together. We just squeeze. You got middle. No, with my companion, I want to name myself as my own companion.
Oh, yeah.
And then I get two tickets. And then when someone tries to sit next to me in the middle seat, I just put the ticket there and go, oh, this seat's taken.
I think that would be such a baller.
Do you think they would let me do that?
Is there a limit on companion passes?
I have no idea, but I just thought about it, and I would totally want to try.
You have to. But it's going to be a challenge because you're going to be like...
Dude, there's going to be some dude with his girlfriend that just rips into me when I do that. It's going to be gnarly.
I bought two tickets so I didn't have to sit next to you. Ooh. You know what? When we start traveling again, you're going to have to let us all know how that turns out.
I know, right? It'll be so fun. I'll have plenty of those like free drink tickets to hand out to like maybe soften the anger as
still
people
mad?
Are staring
maybe
at me.
Maybe this changes your mind?
Right.
Yeah, that's always been so worthless. And we're going to give you a free alcoholic drink. Well, I'm just flying to Vegas. I think we're okay. I don't need a stiff drink. We're all good.
Right. Yeah. So life is crazy now that we're in this lockdown situation. You know, we talked about the coronavirus and COVID slightly before in previous episodes. But it was always this distant thing in China that we were like, whoa, that doesn't look good. Yeah, this could be bad.
Like the bird flu and SARS. And
Right. Yeah, but it's interesting.
Child labor.
It's here now, and it's a totally different situation.
How are you guys holding up?
So I'm great. I love hanging out at home. Are you kidding? I like hang out at home, hang out with your kids, cook dinner. Like, you know, if your biggest question of the day is, what am I going to eat? And it's 4:00. Should I shower? I mean, like, you know, I mean, this is like pretty awesome. Working from home is normal for me. So I'm good with that. Cause I work up in the Bay Area for most of my, when I travel, and then I'm home
right
3 days a week in the, working in my home office. So that's not a big deal, but you know, what's a big deal is having your kids home while you're working from home during this time period. I'm used to it in the summer. I like hold my breath for 2 months and kind of get through it.
Right.
But now we're like on this extended summer vacation, and I love my kids. I'm totally good if they're home, but they watch garbage TV.
Ooh.
Just, you know, it's so hard. The YouTube videos and the shows, and it's different now because it's like snotty tween and teen shows.
Yeah, I would argue that my wife and I have a rougher time because those shows for the 5 to 8 year olds are rough.
They're rough. Yeah.
There's a few things that I tolerate, and we can talk about it more, but a lot of them are a little bit sketchy.
So I was wondering, right, as we're going through, how many of these annoying TV shows, and these are children's shows that I'm talking about specifically. So my kids are in the whiny teen things.
Okay.
It was way worse when they were younger, and it was, you know, My Little Pony and
Peppa
Princess
Pig.
Stuff. And, yeah, and Peppa Pig, right?
I wanted to murder that pig.
Oh, I would eat those ribs.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Gross. Gross. Daddy, these ribs are delicious. They should be. They're pepper.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
Shattering childhood. That was last episode. We can't do that again.
So there is a website that ranks, like, just different lists. Like, and it takes in votes. And so people can vote up the list up and down. And it looks like, let's see, how many people have voted on this one? You know, we've got like at least 2,000 or 3,000 people who have voted.
So a good sample size.
A good sample size who have voted for the most annoying television shows. So I thought what we could do is I'm going to take the top five and I'm going to see if you recognize the show by I'm going to play the theme song.
Please.
And then we'll see how it goes. And then we can hear about which show is like driving you crazy and which show are you like kind of embarrassed that you may even like.
Okay.
All right, this one's going to be a tough one. You ready?
Yep, fire away.
Come on.
We know a world,
a magic world. You're going to get it now. Anything can happen in
a special world. It can happen to you or me. I don't know what this is. Oh, the Wiggles?
Oh, there you go.
Wiggles?
Hey, we had to wait for them to mention their name.
Oh, no. Your kids should be too old for the Wiggles.
They're too old. So that's not, this is not their shows. These are like kids shows out there. Yeah. So this would, if they were your kid's age, like, you know, the 5-year-old, it's very possible you could be in that situation.
Right. So my little brother is 15 years younger than me. So we grew up watching this crap with him. The funniest thing that ever happened, when you get a kid that's that much younger, you're basic and you're following 4 other boys.
Yeah.
You pretty much have everything by ways of toys, outfits, stuff like that.
Oh, there's nothing they can buy for you.
So finding something or doing something interesting for him growing up was relatively hard.
Yeah.
So as part of this annoying television show thing, I remember distinctly for one of, it was either birthday or Christmas, they got him a personalized Barney video that superimposed his face into the episode.
I remember that.
So that he could feel like he was in an episode of Barney, and it did not make the episode any better.
I think I got my brother that same thing. It was like this kit where you got the tape and you could record it and you could put like, it was like make your own Barney video.
It was something like that.
Yeah, and
you just saw a random face that didn't move in an otherwise action-moving kid show. It was horrific.
I please don't Google search this on the internet, like, you know, make your own Barney video, because I bet there's some horrific ones on the internet.
Yeah, or some chat site, and you'll be in contact with an undercover cop.
Yeah, the FBI.
You're going to jail. And you should. If you're a grown man with no children Googling how to make Barney videos, you deserve to go to jail. So play the next one.
Okay, we'll see if you get this.
Dora! Oh, Dora. Oh, man.
Dora, the map. The map. This one was infuriating as a parent.
We didn't hit that too hard. We did see the live-action Dora movie in movie theaters. Wasn't as bad as you would think it is. I went in with really
low
expectations.
That's a hard pass. That is a hard pass.
But like I said, I'm a simple man, so if you take me to a movie theater where I can lay down and have a nacho, then we're okay.
What did the map look like? Mappy.
It wasn't live. So the map didn't unroll itself, but it was really funny because they leaned into the joke of it. So it's real people, and Dora would do her, can you say this? And then look towards the camera, and then people around her and be like, what the hell are you doing, Dora?
that's good. Yeah, because it is insane. If it teaches our kids to have to go like, hey, do we have a map? The map. Like,
Swiper, no swipey.
Oh, yeah. Swiper, no swipey. How can we forget Swiper?
You know what?
The thief on Dora the Explorer.
And all he wanted, he was just trying to build himself out, get himself out of the jungle, get some opportunities, and Dora was just selfish.
Oh, my gosh. Here it is.
You're getting to be a big boy.
Is it Caillou?
Yes.
I'm just a kid.
Just let it come in.
I like exploring. I'm Caillou.
That is so cringy.
They all look like giant babies in that show.
Well, they're all cancer patients because they don't have hair.
Oh, dear. I don't think you're allowed to make that joke.
Well, I'm not making a joke. I'm like, why is there a child that has no hair? He either has, like, what is it, alopecia? No, not alopecia. What's the...
Yeah, that's the one.
Is that the one where you're hairless?
Yeah.
Yes, it must be about alopecia. Maybe it's alopecia awareness.
But isn't it month. Everyone who's kind of a little misshapen, hairless? I don't really remember everyone else, just Caillou.
Caillou. So the problem with Caillou, it's like, I think it's Canadian. I'm not sure actually where it's from. Cause they have that, like,
really? That's the problem?
Well, that's a
start. It comes from a different country.
It's a start.
That's why we're building them walls. Make America great again.
No, not that it's Canadian, but they say a boot once in a while. It has like a funny like gotcha. Accent. So like when I hear the parents once in a while, I'm like, that's foreign talk. We don't talk like that. But like the problem with Caillou isn't the accents, isn't the fact that I think it's you know, potentially Canadian.
Uh-huh.
It's the fact that it's a whiny kid and the parents totally enable the whininess. And if your kids watch this, they turn into little whiny brats. It's the worst.
Yeah.
So bad.
It's pretty freaking bad.
Yeah.
I don't miss this one.
Yeah. I remember there was an article on ESPN. There's some blog writer out there that all he does is write about how much he disdains Caillou. He said, like, even Caillou's body doesn't respect him and doesn't believe he deserves hair.
You know what? That's fair.
It's mean.
That's fair.
Just, like, dogging on this, like, stupid cartoon.
But speaking of, like, the Canadian thing, that's also my favorite thing to do when we're watching HGTV. And they don't say where they're buying the home.
Yeah.
But then they say, like, a boot and, like, Canada.
Yeah. And then their small little houses are like $3 million.
What's up with that?
They're so expensive, right?
Yeah. I feel like that.
Canada must be terrible. Like, it's so expensive and cold.
Well, our budget's $1.2 million. And I'm like, why?
That's such a great Canadian accent.
It's a boot, $2 million.
You're killing me.
Ay-y-y.
Yeah. When they're like selling their houses and they're these garbage little houses and they're $3 million in Toronto or Vancouver, those must be some expensive
places. I wish they would
tell
us, but I think they know that the U.S. struggles with caring about other parts of the world. So if it's in Canada, they never say anything. But if it's in Las Vegas, we're here in Las Vegas. We're here doing this.
Right.
So yeah, Canada, no address.
It's just one big country.
Exactly.
My grandmother's Canadian, so
no. Hey, I'm cool with the Canucks.
Be careful. So that, I'm just saying I can make fun of Canadians because I am Canadian.
I'm not making fun of Canadians.
Oh no, okay.
Love Canadians. You can just tell them when you hear them.
You know who loves Canadians?
Who?
This guy.
I love you. You love me.
Hell.
We're a happy family.
Oh man, Barney.
I remember going to summer camps during Barney heydays and. They would print out giant posters of Barney to use for the target practice as the archery range and stuff like that. I cannot stand it.
Oh my gosh. Barney makes me think of my little brother. I have this brother who's
a dinosaur.
Yeah, he's a dinosaur.
Or he's purple.
He's much younger than I am because I'm an old fat dad and he is a young single dancer living in Europe. But at the time, he was when he was a little kid. You know, I think I was in high school, like junior in high school, and he was like 2 years old.
Yeah.
He was super into Barney, and he had a Barney bedroom. And every time I see Barney, I think of the sheets on his bed because he had a full like Barney sheet set.
Nice.
And there was this one time in this bed that like I can always remember this bed because he got sick one night and he was sleeping in his room. And I guess he was sick and he threw up all over himself. And when we went and found him to wake him up, he was still sick, kind of like just lying there. He must have had COVID, you know, 2000.
Or hangover.
COVID 1993.
Right.
COVID 1993. So COVID 93.
He was way ahead of his time.
Way ahead of his time. So this, you know, this 2-3-year-old had a hangover and a fever and he had puked and. We had just moved into this new house and had some pest issues, and there were ants all over his.
Oh no!
So it was like burned into my head, like the worst thing. So anyway, that's what Barney means to me. My little brother puking in bed.
Your little brother and ant covered puke.
Yeah, it's gnarly.
That's beautiful.
So, but I gotta say, Barney is one of the most obnoxious. Like having to sit through one of these is so hard. I mean, we should be playing it. In federal prisons. Actually, that might not be constitutional.
No, that's cruel and unusual punishment. Yeah. No, I agree. And I feel grateful because, you know, my kids are between the ages of 5 and 9. And so they've gotten to where they have started to like some interesting stuff, but they're still some that I just cannot stand.
Yeah. You know, my oldest son is really into interesting things. He loves watching clips of Joe Rogan and what's it? Oh, he loves Ben Shapiro. He's such a right wing crazy. I wonder awesome. Where he gets that from.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So like every time I walk in the room where he's watching YouTube, it's like Jordan Peterson telling him, clean your room.
Oh my gosh.
Jordan Peterson is the best. He's so great. Okay. So number one most annoying children show.
Okay, let's
hear. I think you'll get this one, but this one's I did not grow up with this.
Okay. Oh, is this Teletubbies?
Yes, you're so good.
The only thing I remember that, again, same little brother, he had a spell. Thankfully, he wasn't in it too long, but yeah. I do remember the little baby is the sun. And so when I heard the baby, that's what reminded me. At the beginning and the end of every episode, there was a baby sun and it would rise and set.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
So what's the show that's driving you crazy these days in your house?
This is controversial because I think my wife likes this show too. I think she's watched it on her own as well.
Okay.
Kids are really into Fuller House.
No way.
I don't like it.
Me neither.
I'm not a big fan.
So Fuller House is the remake of Full House, and it's on Netflix, where like they're older, right?
Yeah, so it's DJ's all grown up. Her husband died in a firefighter accident.
Yeah.
And she has, I think, two or three boys. I can't remember.
Yeah.
And
are those twins in the show?
No, they haven't. They've made reference to them that they're in New York living it up, or it's just one of them's in New York living it up, but they never make a
dude. Those Olsen appearance. Twins are so interesting looking. They become like freakier and freakier, like all the time, like their appearance. The last picture I saw of them, this was like, I don't know, like 5 years ago, because I'm not really an Olsen twin fan or follow them.
Right, right, right.
But I saw a picture of them and I thought they looked exactly like, what's it? Those like elves in Dark Crystal.
I haven't.
I know seen that's Dark a weird Crystal. Reference.
That is a weird reference. But it makes me sad because I feel like they've worked so hard to basically leave the spotlight.
Yeah.
After a couple of movies when they were a teenager, they've largely just stayed out of the limelight.
Yeah.
And they haven't aged well. Like, I think DJ has aged better than them. And by DJ, I mean the gal from Full House, because I don't know their actual names, except for John Stamos.
Is Lori Loughlin in the new one?
She has been in it. She hasn't been in it recently, and I think they just did the final season for obvious reasons. But Stamos so has, nice. Bob Saget has. The Bob Saget thing cracks me up, because I think my wife just watches it and has no idea what a filthy comedian Bob Saget is.
Oh, he's the worst. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. I mean, the words he says makes me blush.
So when you watch like America's Funniest Home Videos and he's all like goofy, like, hey, America, right. Blah, blah, cheese joke, dad joke, blah. Right. And then you get on Netflix and your kids should not watch that.
Yeah.
You should not watch that.
No. And I agree. And do you know who's doing America's Funniest Home Videos now, don't you?
Yes, I do. Alfonso Rivera, right? Yeah. Like from
Carlton.
Carlton from Fresh Prince.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's how I pictured Bob Saget to be in real life. Just kind of, hey guys.
Alfonso Rivera is so annoying.
I think he's probably like that in real life. Or do you think he has a dark side like Bobby?
Or do you think he's just normally, he has just a switch, like he can just turn on and just be like, I'm the cheesiest guy.
I assume that he is. The other guy who's interesting on that show, so I have a bit of a man crush on John Stamos, but Dave Coulier has also made appearances on the show.
You have a man crush on him?
No, he's kind of gross. I actually heard a story about him that he has like a massive flatulence problem, allegedly.
Oh, yuck.
But this next part isn't alleged. He married a gal who has no sense of smell.
On purpose?
I don't know if it was on purpose.
You're so dumb.
I am dead serious. This is so fake. Or if it was a love that was foreordained or foretold. Like, I can't think of two people who are better off together. The guy who's super smelly and the gal who can't smell anything.
Well, I mean, that's why people come up to me all the time and say, wow, your wife is beautiful. Did you meet her at the school for blind? We all have to find someone with their disability that will like let us into their lives.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm actually going to, you know, that meme, that mention of the Olsen twins and the Dark Crystal.
Yeah.
I made a meme of it a few years back. Mm-hmm. I'm going to post it on our Instagram account, Two Fat Dads Podcast. It's spelled out Two Fat Dads Podcast. And then I will give you, you'll be able to see the Dark Crystal Olsen Twins comparison. It's pretty shocking.
Nice. So the one that I secretly like, where I'm a little embarrassed, I'm a little bit of a nerd, so whatever. Teen Titans Go.
You know what? It's not too bad. It is really obnoxious and like the fighting back and forth.
Yeah.
But they bring in some nostalgic characters
from our
childhood, right? With Robin.
And there's probably too much, you know, potty talk or whatever, focusing on Buns of Steel.
Totally.
But it's where my son and I connect.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, it's one of those gateway cartoons that allows adults to kind of like hang out and be with kids and feel okay. Like, I think there's a couple other ones like that where, like, even SpongeBob sometimes I can get into,
I can't get past the laugh.
But Phineas and Ferb, that was one where kind of adults could kind of watch and be kind of part of
That's closer.
My kids love The Simpsons, but that's really on the more adult side versus the younger kid side.
And I had to stop watching Family Guy in front of my kids.
Oh, yeah, that's too much.
So my wife would go to the grocery store, and this is before we turned on Family Guy, but the minute he started talking, I stopped it. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, I had to. I couldn't have his first words be some sort of swear word or something that is a little bit dicey.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So what is your secret pleasure when your kids are turning on shows and things like that?
I actually hate all of them.
What do you hate the most?
I'm going to say right now, I am so sick of Bunked and Liv and Maddie, like these Disney, like...
I don't mind Bunked.
I've seen every episode 4,000 times. They're not making new ones.
Yeah, Liv and Maddie's a little bit more challenging.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
It's brutal. And it's just those shows where it's like the laugh track. And so it's always like, oh, ah, like in the laugh track just over and over. It's like you could count it out like a beat to a song.
Right.
The way it's produced. It drives me crazy.
Have your kids gotten into the High School Musical series?
Yes. But... Now that we got our kids at home, like a little bit of TV is okay, but what are you doing to keep them off the screens? It's driving me crazy.
I don't know. See, I've been working a little bit remotely and...
You're on a screen all day working remote. It's hard to like yell at them, right?
Yeah, and so my wife's been a champion. She's trying to develop a schedule, but we didn't really sign up for this homeschooling stuff. This isn't freaking Little House on the Prairie.
Well, what we've learned from this whole COVID-19 thing and the kids home is that... Homeschool, anyone who says they do homeschool with their kids is number one lying.
Right.
There's no way you're sitting at the table doing homework and doing assignments all day and working and doing all these other things, right? And there's just no way.
No.
And if in fact this is homeschool and they can kind of pass and get through, maybe they don't need to go back to school. I don't know.
But I need them to go back. We have learned a couple of 100% cool things. Yeah, so they're not little social weirdos.
Right.
They need to go make friends and figure out how to put up with a bully and all those social awkward things that you won't get. I mean, prom's super awkward.
I'm pretty sure they're not learning with the stuff we're like having them do. Like, it's maybe not as intense.
The cool thing we've discovered about our son is, for the most part, we never let them on YouTube. But my wife has been letting him on because he's taken a real shine to drawing. And so he'll go, how to draw Sonic and to follow the steps of a guy. And he's pretty freaking good.
Yeah. It's amazing. My little one does the same thing.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So those are the fun things. And then you just like hear random things that they say. They're twisted logic. And those things crack me up. Like, for example... my son was going a little bit stir crazy the other day, and I finally looked at him and I said, "Dude, you're nuts." And he ran up. I had built these steps that go up my bed. They're so our dogs can get up on our bed without beaching themselves or falling off or that sort of thing, because we got old dogs.
Yeah.
And he runs up and gets on the top step, and he's in his little boxer brief, and he points to his unit and said, "No, Dad, these are my nuts." And I just put a pillow over my face and just started laughing while my wife is shooting me the death look.
That is so awesome.
But I didn't teach him that. I never did. I mean, that was just good timing. I've never been more proud in my entire life.
Yeah.
So good on him.
That is amazing. I wish I had a fun story like that.
No, that's okay. I mean, your kids are musical. They're writing. They're having a good time.
They're making movies. They're recording music. They're actually using this time to get really creative, which is really fun. One of the things that I found fascinating about having them home and we're on this shelter lockdown situation is how companies around us are like evolving their business model to like meet our needs.
How so?
Did you see the email from Domino's Pizza?
No, what did it say?
So it's got the greatest thing.
TJ, we haven't heard from you in a while. Are you okay? That's when you know you really have a problem.
When I open up the app, it says, just reorder your last order. Like it's like you're the same order you do every single time. Yeah, so they have this update so that you can still get your pizza delivered. But let's say you don't want to talk to the delivery driver. You have to keep your social distancing and like not do this, dance at the door, right? Or sign the check.
You do the home alone delivery.
Yeah. So you can have a contactless delivery now.
Leave it on Domino's. The doorstep and get the heck out of here.
It's exactly the home alone situation. Exactly. 100%. So using the delivery instructions, you let your store know that you'd like a contactless delivery. And so what that means is
no tipping.
You have to tip. You give extra for this. Actually, I would give extra for this. I don't see them like, oh, I'm just embarrassed. This is the 17th time I've ordered a large.
Nice.
Yeah, it's bad. So one of your store delivery experts will notify you that your pizza has arrived. When they get there, your delivery expert will place your order on a safe and clean surface at the location specified in the delivery instructions.
I hope they're considered essential personnel.
Oh, they better be.
Yeah.
And the delivery expert will move back to a safe distance and wait until you arrive. They're like staring. It's like an old Western like standoff. All right, you leave the pizza right there. Like, back off.
What are you supposed to do? Nod? I mean, do they still need the signature or how does that work?
I guess you just do it electronically, but I like this like idea where he like puts the pizza down, rings the doorbell and then runs back and waits for you to come. Like,
well, and I see other businesses trying to do this and trying to be creative, and there are some businesses it just will not work for.
Like what?
So
bowling alleys.
Have you seen the new like Lincoln commercials?
No.
We understand this might be a difficult time. So if you want to go ahead and buy it online, we'll have a 120-day return policy.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Talk about dropping it off. Kind of not.
I mean, it's a bad idea to buy a car just,
online. Just binging it. No test drive. Oh, that looks nice enough.
Yeah, but you get it free for 120 days.
Yeah, who knows what the strings are?
Right,
nothing's ever free.
You could just rent a car for 90 days and return it like day 89.
With it, yeah,
it's just not for me. I ordered it online, tried it out.
I wonder if people are going to start doing that.
Totally
that would be hilarious.
Day 89, there's going to be like 400,000 Lincolns showing up.
I'm going to New York on vacation. Rental car? No. We're going to test drive a Lincoln. Not happy with
honey,
it.
Honey, I ordered it. I told him our address is curb E, on the airport.
Terminal E.
Terminal 2, curbside.
Group H, yeah. That's awesome. We might have figured out a life hack. You're welcome, America.
You're welcome. Yeah, what other free things can we get with COVID-19? I love the fact that like when you go now, you can't go in a restaurant. It's just to go. You just order online, you show up, you say your name. Sometimes it's just like sitting there with your name on it. You just grab it to go.
How do you feel about tipping for takeout?
No.
Never?
No, I don't tip for takeout. They didn't take my order, probably. I did it online. I did all that work.
Right.
Right? They didn't have to. So tipping for me is about like coming and making sure you have like the right food or that you your drink is refilled. It's for those services.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just giving me a product that I ordered online doesn't need a service tip.
So I would tip if it's a waiter or waitress is covering a takeout door at a Chili's or something like that, maybe 10% or whatever. But if it's Chipotle or something like that, I'm with you.
So you have a hierarchy of restaurants. So if they have someone who's dedicated just for takeout, that's just sitting there, then you tip them. But if they're working really hard, manning the store and like doing the online orders and doing everything, then you don't.
Yeah. My wife once had a roommate who was a bartender at an Olive Garden, and she was responsible for putting together all that stuff as part of her job.
Yeah.
And so for that sort of situation, yeah, I would probably tip. It's not the full 20 to 30 to 40.
Ooh, 30 or 40?
Well, like if you have exceptional service where
it's, listen, son. Most 10% is good enough for God.
20 and 30. Do you know what was rough? My sister-in-law worked at a sushi place in Utah.
Oh, no.
And she said it was horrific to be in Provo where people would say, we start at 15%, and for every mistake you make, we take off a percentage.
Listen, I delivered pizza in Provo.
Yeah.
And midnight on Fast Sunday. Like, or every Sunday around 11:59 on Sunday.
Right.
It switched, turned on to midnight. So now it's officially Monday.
Right.
The phone is ringing off the hook. Like, that is insane. So dumb. Like 400,000 pizza orders all right there. Like, we need pizza. We've been fasting. We haven't had real food. We had to eat, you know, like ramen because we couldn't go to, you know, the Burger King was closed.
I was guilty of that. We did quite a few Del Taco runs when I lived in the dorms at BYU.
Anyone who orders pizza at 11:59 or midnight right on a Sunday night is a bad tipper, let me tell you. You're not getting jacked. I once would, like, you know, show up and it'd be like $19.56.
Keep the change.
And no, they wouldn't even say that. They would be like waiting for their change. Literally, like, pull 54 cents out of my bag and give it to them.
So most Mormons that I've gone to eat with, not in Utah, have always been pretty generous
tippers. Yeah.
Is there something about Utah? Do you think it is the I give God 10%, therefore are you, do you think it's that mentality, or what do you think it is?
I think there's that. I also, I mean, like, they're like, a lot of people grew up with a lot less,
right,
and you're just a rich man, and just kidding, it's
no, but I acknowledge that.
No, but I think culturally,
that's their career, or that's how they're making a living.
Exactly.
And I respect that.
I think that's an old school thing in Utah. I mean, these stories are from like 20 something years ago. I don't expect that it's like that today.
I hope it's not.
No, it probably isn't.
Right. So back in the day, maybe it was just regarded as, oh, they're just doing this to get through school. It just wasn't respected as a career.
Yeah, probably.
Whereas our generation, it's more, hey, this is what you wanted to do. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So what do you think, you know, what's changed in your life? What are you dealing with these days? That
working from home is a little bit of a trip. It's a little bit challenging because my kids are so awesome and so exciting. They want to tell you what they're doing all the time. And so my wife's had to bear the brunt of it more than I have. So hats off to her and what she's doing. It's also food planning's become a little bit more important. Grocery stores, I think they're coming back now. I think people have realized they've stocked themselves further than they probably should have.
Yeah, like how many dozens of eggs are you going to eat, right? Like, honestly.
Absolutely.
It's insane.
So that's been an adjustment. And my wife's hardcore. She's looking out for me. So if I go out in public or I go to the grocery store, it's the get undressed, like shut the garage, take off your clothes, we'll wash those things, but don't track it into the house. She's super conscientious, and so that's been a little bit of a change as well. But overall, I just miss people.
Yeah, and I miss the physical activity of having to go out.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I can't go to the gym. I can't go to, I can't play tennis. I can't go. I go for walks around the neighborhood, and it's so interesting. Everybody's walking around the neighborhood, but we're all like, we're walking around like not like we have to get anywhere, just like kind of
the old west. Everyone's giving each other space.
Exactly. It's like we're walking to church in Little House on the Prairie.
Oh my gosh,
that's exactly what it looks like. And we're just out on these neighborly strolls, and we're kind of like nodding at people but not getting close, and it's bizarre.
Yeah, because not the time to get to know your neighbor. or maybe it is. I don't know.
I think if you keep your distance. So I think what we're going to do, and maybe this is going to be controversial for folks, but we have a patio on the front of our house. I'm going to put out a fire pit. I just ordered one online. And
nice.
have some chairs, and I'm just going to light a fire at night, and people want to come over and chat. We're just going to have like fireside chats, you know, where we're 6 feet away, and the fire will be burning any virus as it comes and comes out of our mouths at each other.
That's absolutely how it works.
Right?
I think there's been studies that show if you're near a campfire, you can't get a virus.
And, you know, we're LDS, right? So we don't drink, but my wife was joking. She's like, how many more days of this till the Mormons start drinking?
Oh, man. That's a really good question. How was your sacrament on Sunday?
Oh, it was great. It was really nice. Yeah, we did it at home. It was awesome.
Ours was 15 minutes.
Yeah. I got to say, though, that doing church in home, so we're all having to do our own church services in home and, you know, as a family or with, you know, my in-laws live down the streets, not my in-laws, but my wife's sister live and her family lives down the street. And we had them over for church. I got to say, when you're sitting around your living room where you just watched the movie the night before and you're having your church service, it feels like you're in a cult.
Yeah.
And that's this like weird cult vibe. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
I'm not into it.
No. And I don't know. I liked going to church and seeing the people and having the weird stories that
I agree
that happen.
Best part of church, besides giving some guidance in your life and helping you understand your relationship with God, is building relationships and serving with other people. That community piece is huge.
Okay, do you know what we're going to go down the rabbit hole of?
Okay.
Okay, the craziest things that have been said over the pulpit during a sacrament meeting.
Oh, I don't even know what those are. Okay, do we have those anymore? I've forgotten all about that past life.
Okay, well, I haven't forgotten the big ones.
Okay.
And I'll run through a couple of them.
I've got one, okay. But it was just a performance.
So this first one, I clearly remember it. It was in my homeward growing up, mm-hmm. and it was a Mother's Day. And a gal got up there and said, I would like to start off by reading a poem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about mothers. And she starts, the penis of a lily, the pureness of a lily. And I have four brothers. So our layout is we're the people left side. If you're facing the pulpit, we're on the left side. We're the last two rows.
My nightmare.
The boys sit something. In front, parents and one of the brothers sit behind. And like everyone is slouched over just trying not to laugh hysterically.
Oh my gosh.
And my mother, sponsor of the show, shout out. Is looking around, are we just wicked people who are now hearing penis as a family, or did it just happen?
Yeah,
we seem to be the only people reacting, but then she looks at the front and the bishop's family, which is the inverse of ours, where it's, I think, four or five girls, all their heads are down and they are giggling out of their minds.
Oh my gosh.
So that was one. Another one comes from my father. He served his mission in France, where you're just doing a lot of knocking. There aren't a lot of French people who are super jazzed about finding the gospel.
Yeah.
And he managed to get someone to come to church, which is, hallelujah, rare occasion. Unfortunately, it's testimony meeting.
Oh.
And a guy,
Mormon open mic night. So for those who aren't LDS,
yes,
our church, every once a month, they have this thing called testimony meeting. Instead of a normal sermon and where people would, you know,
prepare remarks,
people get up and get to freestyle and just do an open mic.
And sometimes it's really lovely. And all you're supposed to do is get up and bear your testimony of what you believe to be true. Sometimes you tell a little thing about how you're testimony and a particular thing about faith is increased.
Right.
It's meant to be a really great experience. A gentleman got up and said, I've now been coming to church for a couple of years and I feel myself, I feel my skin getting lighter. I feel my eyes getting more blue and I will become white, in the next few years as I continue to come. And my dad's what? Sitting there. And
what race was he originally?
I have no idea.
But he wasn't white.
Apparently not white enough.
What a weirdo.
Yes, and the dude that my dad brought to church just
open mic night
looks at him, and my dad looks back at him. He's like, "Yep, I get it. If you never want to come back to this place, how do you recover from that?"
That is so great.
Oh, but he would be a very interesting person to have come on the podcast because he was the bishop of a singles ward for 4 years. So they would
you'd have
he
the best
has
stories.
Great stories about putting people in testimony timeout. Hey, we're not going to listen to you for the next 6 months. You're going to take a little bit of a break. There was a guy who would come up.
I just wish there was like the gong show, like.
Well, you they, just, they like, used to have it. They used buzzer. To have
the
red
little light that
light.
Would beep.
Yeah. They had a guy come up who would always take his shoes off.
Yeah.
And so they got sick of it. So he'd walk up in his socks. So one of his counselors before testimony meeting poured a bunch of water in front of the pulpit just so that when he came up, his socks would be soaking wet by the time he came down.
What kind of freak show takes his shoes off in public and then walks up to the pulpit?
I don't know.
Like, I'm just getting comfortable. I just got to let these dogs
breathe. He's probably the guy that like puts his feet through the seat in front of him on an airplane. You know that's the same guy.
That or he's got some psychological problems. That's something weird, man.
I don't know. I think he was a chef, so it's comforting to know that he's handling our food.
Yikes. Yeah, that's just bizarre. That guy's probably on some like Megan's List or something, like the Megan's Law thing, right?
We had another gal get up, and I served my Mormon mission in Massachusetts, and she wanted to do a talk about modesty, and the only way she knew how to do that was to do a giant cutout of Mormon Molly and Bad Betty and like hold up these giant illustrative things of what's modest and what's not. And my companion's translating.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are not the Taliban. I just want to
say. Right. And so my Mormon companion, so you serve a mission, you have a buddy who teaches with you. He's doing the translating into Spanish. And I'm like, ooh, I wonder what he's saying. And I start listening into what he's saying in Spanish, giving a completely different talk about the atonement.
Oh, that is so lovely. That's a blessing.
I'm sure the people who are speaking, who know English well, were just rolling. Just listening to this, I know you're not translating this. It was awesome.
That is awesome. One of the weirdest ones I saw on testimony meeting was when this one guy got up and he always sang in the ward choir, but wasn't like that great of a singer, but he thought he was this amazing singer.
Right.
So he's got full of confidence and he gets up and he sings and starts singing A Poor Wayfaring Man of Grief, which is this really long hymn. So he sings it a cappella by himself.
It's seven verses.
He went all seven verses.
No!
And we're like, what do we do? It was like 15 minutes long.
What do you do with that?
I don't know. But it was like he's having this emotional experience where he's bearing his heart out singing this song a cappella for 15 minutes. It was epic.
Oh my gosh.
I wish back then we didn't have like phones. This was like in 2002, 2003. So we didn't have like camera phones, but you could video like high quality.
Right.
Because honestly, it would go viral. It was so epic.
Oh, that's so great. I mean, Mormon open mic night is the best. I mean, I heard a story just recently. One of our friends of the show, Johnny Mick, went to DC for an open mic night sacrament meeting, and they had just combined a ward, and it was like lower socioeconomic group with a higher one and blending it together. And so a new bishopric, and one of the wives of one of the bishoprics got up and just started telling everyone that they're horrible people, that they're racist, and all the problems going on with the ward. And and he's just sitting back there. And you know that point where you're, I don't live here. This isn't my problem. So you just lean into it. Like, this is just delightful. This is the best thing that I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he was going through. And then he said a similar thing happened. Another guy got up there and started just singing a song as part of his testimony.
Yeah.
But you know what? If that's what you know and that's what you love, then go for it.
I think you're forgetting. It was not too far in the recent past when we had some pretty fun testimonies in our ward, where some gentlemen who were not from our area came and visited and were taking DMT and having hallucinations and coming up and saying fun things.
I wasn't. So I was on medical leave during.
Oh,
that. So
you missed the whole thing.
So tell me the story.
So these guys are traveling around homeless. And they have their own ayahuasca brew.
Nice.
So this is a hallucinogenic drug that they drink as tea. and they think they can, they magically can rule the world, and they have control of everything, and they're going to be rich.
No, that seems reasonable.
Right. Yeah. So they're living that, and they would come to church, and they would bring their drugs in and take them while we're having church.
How did we know they were doing this?
Because they would tell us, and they had their jug of pee.
Nice.
Yeah, so this was all fully disclosed.
So was it in like a flask, or was it in, I'm picturing a, those things that you put moonshine in.
It literally was a Gatorade bottle where they'd have brew ayahuasca tea, and they would just drink that and like have full on like crazy comments and hallucinations during Sunday school. We had it for like 2 or 3 weeks until we figured out what was going on, and we're like, oh, these guys. And so I had to, actually invite them to not bring their drugs to church. They're welcome to come, but if they're going to be doing, you know, hallucinogenics, we don't feel safe with them around the kids. And you know, they were very disruptive. Like, they'd yell out in class and like, you know, call us hypocrites, and like, because we're dirty hypocrites. I get it, you know, but like, it was chaos, and it ended up, the guy started threatening me, and so we called the cops, and he was going to take me down. And the cops came and said, hey, you got to get off this property. And if they show up, just call us again. And you know, yeah, after they threatened violence, it was like, okay, this is over.
Dude, you're such a prude.
Right? No violence.
I mean, come on. Some people were taking drugs and coming.
Yeah.
That happened to
another gentleman in the ward, and we were on security duty. And then from then on, every week we had to have security in the building and like watch to make sure they didn't come back. They tried to come back once more.
Oh.
And then the cops said, listen, you have to get out of here. We're going to arrest you. You know, like, because at some point it's criminal trespass when you're not welcome.
Yeah, they've been cited. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's amazing. I can't believe you didn't tell me that before.
You missed out. I can't believe you missed out on that. The guy was going to do kung fu. It was the greatest thing when he was going to fight.
Yeah.
So I'm with this other guy, and he's like, starts stretching, and he's like doing these Bruce Lee moves. Like, I know kung fu. I was like really laughing inside, but really scared, because like, this guy was out of his mind, like tripping so hard.
There's nothing crazier or scarier than fighting a crazy person, because a crazy person doesn't know when to stop.
Well, they don't feel it.
Yeah.
Right? So you have no idea. You know it, like when they have that look in their eye, or like they probably are looking at you and seeing some like giant demon, right? Like that's just like almost cartoon-esque, right?
Right.
And they're totally freaked out, ready to charge. And here you are, just a guy looking at this other dude trying like not to get anybody hurt.
Yeah.
Right? So you're already at a disadvantage.
Well, and I've heard that before too. I was listening to a podcast, and a guy was telling a story. He worked security at a department store in Chicago.
Yeah.
And people would try to spend the night in the department store and then come out at 2 or 3 in the morning.
Oh, geez.
And then steal some stuff.
Yeah.
And he said he had the supervisor who was, you know, just for the visual, he said he was the guy kind of dressed like Bernie Mac, would have, you know, the appropriate size gold chain on, and he would come in on his off days, make sure people are doing well. And everyone showed up for work one day, and they hit the elevator button, and inside was the Bernie Mac gentleman, and he was wearing a suit, but it was completely torn up and disheveled, and he was hyperventilating, and there was a guy just sprawled out on the ground, just sleeping like a baby.
Oh, geez.
And it come to find out, this other guy was on meth. So he caught him trying to steal stuff. He didn't want to be detained or arrested, so they would fight. They fought for 6 hours. Until someone came in the next morning. I've never been in a fight so long that you need to take rounds.
Dude, that's amazing.
And so they would fight until he'd get exhausted. Then
they
would try to move him or detain him or handcuff him. And then they would start fighting again.
That's actually like a great movie.
Of exhaustion. Like, fought for 6 hours.
You can just see it, like they're just at that exhausting point.
And I'm doing,
they're swinging at each other, and their arms are just flailing, like, so that's like, it looks almost like they're cuddling. Like,
and I'm just picturing like Bernie Mac, Ocean's 11. So you just have the visual of like, oh, not today. We're not going down like that.
Paul Blart Mall Cop for sure.
Oh,
that is so awesome.
So
Can we interview this person?
I wish. He's a stand-up comedian. I'll give him a shout out. His name's Dan Van Kirk.
Okay.
He has some of the best stories in the world. He does a podcast called Dumb People Town, where they do stories from...
Oh, he's famous for real. He's not talking to us.
No, he's not talking to us.
Okay.
You know.
That's a great story, though.
But, it's his best story.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, well, Ron, we are just getting to about that time. I think we just want to wish everybody a safe week. Make sure you wash your hands, keep your social distancing, and you know, stay healthy out there.
Yeah, be safe, and I'll talk to you next week, buddy.
All right, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you feel it, baby?